Will you pin back your lug holes, as they say in schools, or they used to do in my day. Perhaps they don't now. I'm a bit old, aren't I? But open your spirits to what God might say to you this morning. Shall we pray for you as well, Graham? That you need it. Father, we thank you for Graham. We thank you that he chooses to live his life in honour of you, in obedience to you, loving you. And this morning we know that out of that place he's going to share something that he's heard from you, something that he is excited about, that we can go away and be blessed and encouraged. And I pray that it will touch us this week and do some changing in us as we hear from you as well as hear from Graham. So bless him, allow him to be himself and give us a great time. Amen.
Well, I'd just like to add my welcome to Janet. So it's great to see you all here, particularly those of you who are visiting. You're mainly visiting because of that, I know, and because you're part of the families, but you're really welcome amongst us. Do want you to feel totally comfortable. We appreciate we might sing some songs that you don't know. We might sing some songs in the way you don't, you're not used to. There was an observation made about the way I was dressed this morning, and somebody thought I didn't look too appropriate, but hope you'll forgive me. But I'm very excited about this morning. I really am. As Dave and I were in here this morning, completely changing the room around, because I wanted you to walk through that door and know why we were here this morning. I wanted you to walk through the door and throughout everything we do, be sitting there and thinking, there's a mixture of things going on. We lay an importance on worship. We lay an importance on the Word of God. But we also lay an importance on doing what God tells us to do. And that's what baptism's all about. Last week, we were reading out of Acts chapter 2. Last week was Pentecost Sunday or Whit Sunday. And we just reminded ourselves that when the church began, the Holy Spirit was handed out in a special way to the believers at the time. But we reminded ourselves that it goes on happening. And indeed, last week, we prayed for a number of people. And we actually observed. I looked at one face as I prayed, and we observed the Holy Spirit somehow touching somebody and the excitement that rose up. And really, that being a Christian, I'm not saying it's all fun and roses. I'm not saying that at all. I am saying it's the best way to live. I'm utterly convinced. So I've only allowed myself a few minutes, so I mustn't ramble, because I want actually just to draw your attention, not just to this, but the big picture that we're a part of. If you go back, and I haven't got time to read you the whole story of Acts chapter 2, but if you remember the story, the believers, in a somewhat scared manner, were gathered together in a room, probably 100 or plus of them, and they knew they were waiting for something, because Jesus had told them to wait there until they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus had said. So they were waiting with anticipation, but they were also, I suspect, a bit scared of the potential hammering on the door from the Roman soldiers, because their leader, Jesus, had only been crucified a few weeks earlier. And although they knew he'd risen from the dead, you and I, we can't put ourselves in the position of what it must have been like. But I reckon, you know, If you'd seen that happen to your leader, however wonderful the fact that he's risen again, there's still something about it that makes you wonder every time there's a knock on the door, is that the soldiers again? But in fact, that wasn't what happened on that day. There was, well, the Bible describes it as it seemed like a mighty rushing wind rushed through the whole house. It seemed like. It wasn't a wind. It was something that was the only way they could describe it. The best words they could come up with. And then they also said that tongues of fire. Fire was in this room, in this building. And it looked almost as though the tongues of fire landed on each person's head. And then it said, and they began to speak in other languages. On this occasion, they went out, I imagine they tumbled out of this room and went out into the city, and they began to speak about the wonders of God, but the people who were there, and they were from all over the place, they were actually hearing this in their own languages, and it was truly remarkable. So something really spectacular had happened. From the scared people in a room, suddenly They're bold as brass. They're out there in the streets. They're making a declaration. And the Bible that says by the end of that day, 3,000 people were added to their number. So they started with 100 plus, I think. Could have been just 12, but I think there was 100 plus. And then suddenly, end of the day, there are 3,000 of them. And as you read on, it just goes more. And, well, Peter, from having been a little nervous, he's also touched with this, and he's incredibly bold. And so he takes the opportunity when they're out in the streets and everybody's saying, what on earth's going on? Remember, some people said, well, these guys are drunk. But as we remarked last week, you're not usually accused of being drunk because suddenly you can speak in a language that you didn't know yesterday. Doesn't usually come out of a bottle of wine, that. It takes a little bit, either a touch from God or else it takes a few years to learn. So you've got that there. But Peter took the opportunity. He got a crowd. He was full of courage. He stands up and says, now you're wondering what's happening. They actually said that. What's happening? Peter stands up and says, I'll tell you what's happening. And the first thing he did was to read to them a quotation out of the prophet Joel. I'll read it to you. He said, this is what's happening. And then he quoted, and all, it wasn't just Jews in this city, but everybody who was gathered there, even though they were from all over the place, they were people who had transferred to the Jewish faith. So they all knew their Old Testament. And they would have known this promise. And this is what he read. He said, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days and they'll prophesy. I'll show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's what Joel had declared all those years earlier. Peter stands up and says, this is it. This is what he was talking about. Now, think about it. He's declaring that they were entering the last days. I don't know what you think of when you think of the phrase the last days. When the Bible talks about the last days, you're thinking, well, is the end coming tomorrow then? Well, there's 2,000 years of last days so far, but we're still in the last days. And the key thing about the last days that's declared in the Bible here is that something is working towards the final time when Jesus will indeed come again. But in the meantime, whereas before, if God wanted to break in, he would pour out his spirit on an individual and they would stand up and speak the words of God. When we're in the last days, this says, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. So suddenly, in the last days, which we're in now, there's the potential for the Spirit of God to be poured out on every single one of us, which you've got to say is good news. Got to say is good news. Because knowing, I don't know everybody in this room, but some of the people I know, if left to their own devices, wouldn't be as good and as righteous as they are. It does need a touch of God to make a difference. I appreciate there's some wonderful people in this room. And they do try hard. But it does make a difference to have the life of God within you. That last phrase is the crucial thing that applies to us today. It says, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And then Peter ties that in with Jesus Christ. You see, we've got this problem. We've got a historical perspective. We look back on it and it makes sense. It didn't to them. They knew that this phrase, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But who's the Lord? Peter says, that's Jesus. That is Jesus Christ. And then Peter takes the opportunity to tie it all in with Jesus. Talks about Jesus' life, talks about the miracles. In fact, he uses this phrase. He said, Jesus was a man accredited to you by miracles, wonders and signs, which God did among you through him. And they all knew it had happened. And these were not everyday miracles. These were things that had happened only because Jesus Christ was around. People had been raised from the dead. Blind men had finished up seeing. Deaf people had heard, and so on and so on. And this was the beginnings of this incredible story. He talked about Jesus having been crucified but risen from the dead. And he said boldly, these people who are standing here with me, we are the witnesses. We've seen it. We have seen Jesus. We know he is risen from the dead. We've seen him. And then actually many of them had been around when Jesus had disappeared from their view and had ascended into heaven. And so they knew and again witnessed the fact that Jesus is no longer walking on the earth. He's now ascended into heaven and he's sitting at the right hand of God. And then they also said, and now what's happened today is the Holy Spirit of God has been poured out exactly as that prophecy says. And then he just drove his point home a little. He said this. He said, God made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Drives the point home. And the people listening to him were just sort of staggered by the story they heard. There was something so incredible. And suddenly they realized what they'd done. I'm convinced of this. They realized they had crucified the Messiah. They'd been waiting for this Messiah all their lives. And now what have they done? They've crucified him. And they shouted to Peter, what shall we do? And this is the answer. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. That was his answer. Repent and be baptized. That's why this is so important, you see. Now, you may be interested to know that the phrase be baptized is an unusual tense in Greek. It's one we don't have. It doesn't mean baptize yourself. It doesn't quite mean be baptized. I am told that the best translation of it is to say, get yourself baptized. Get yourself baptized. In other words, somebody else has got to be involved in it. You can't do it yourself. You can't just quietly nip in the water and say, I baptize myself. Don't work that way. And you can't get that amorphous be baptized. The key thing is get yourself baptized. In other words, you make a choice. You decide you're going to be baptized, but somebody else is going to do it with you. And then he warned them. And as I say, 3,000 were added to the number that day. Why baptized? Well, you notice these folk who were baptized then, don't know quite how he did it, they baptized 3,000 people. As far as I'm aware, they hadn't got a baptistry prepared. They hadn't had the heat on all night to make sure it wasn't too cold. This is nicely warmed up for you. We're not quite sure how they did it. They may have taken advantage of a local river or a pool. There were pools around. But they baptized them. Did they give them an awful lot of training about what it means to become a Christian and be baptized? No, they didn't. They said, are you ready? In you go. But notice how it goes. It's repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized. Repent means that you've seen something about your old life needs to change. Repent. Re means again. Pent is to do with turning round. But somebody pointed out to me only a few months ago, the word pent is to do with, it's related to the same root as penthouse. And your penthouse is always at the top, isn't it? And the implication is that when you repent, what you do is you line yourself up with God's view of how it ought to be rather than your own. So it's not just saying sorry. It's not just turning around and changing direction. It's changing direction to take a direction that lines up with where God wants you to go. So that's what repent means. And then one of the key elements that they don't actually mention here, they just took it as read. But another key element is to have faith in Jesus Christ. See, it's all about Jesus. You're not just getting in some water. This was the distinction. Before then, John had baptized people. John the Baptist had baptized people. And his baptism was to do with repentance. And it was to do with people saying, my life's in a mess. I need it washing. I need it changing. And John said, this is the way to do it. And you will be changed. But he also said, but there's going to come someone else later. And he was talking about Jesus, who will not only do that, he will baptize you with fire, he said. And there's the implication of something that is much, much more powerful, much, much stronger. And so we're talking here of a baptism that recognizes we have faith in Jesus Christ. We believe in Jesus. We're certain that Jesus is the way forward. That's what the crucial thing is. And they weren't taught anything. They did the job. But I'm convinced they were taught shortly afterwards. Now, you see, we understand enough of the obvious symbols about this. This is why it's so helpful. You see, the people who are being baptized this morning are essentially recognizing they are dirty and they need a wash. okay? In the spiritual sense, but let's not get too spiritual. But what it means is there's a really clear picture here of my life isn't as clean and as good as it should be, but I have turned to Jesus Christ. I've repented. My life has changed. And just to demonstrate what I've done, I'm going in there to demonstrate that I'm being washed and I'm coming up clean. The other image that's there is you've realized you are now dead. You need to be buried. That's really what we're talking about. Your old life is dead. You've lined yourself up with Jesus, who was crucified but rose again. So when you're baptized, your old life is dead. You bury it under the water, but then you rise again. Now, of course, it would be wonderful to think that if you did that, you'd never sin again. I would just like to warn you, looking around this room, I know that's not true. So you four who are getting baptized this morning, it's great. But I warn you, mums and dads, it doesn't mean that tomorrow you will be completely sin-free. It would be nice, but it doesn't work that way. But there is a difference. That is not just water. That is not just cleaning you up. It's relatively clean, I assure you. But there is something going on that you meet with God himself. You meet with Jesus Christ. Different for each person. But there is a definite sense. There is something about it that says you will meet with Jesus Christ. It's a powerful symbol. And I believe God honours the obedience of what happens at this point. Because remember what Peter said to these folk? They said, what must we do then? We've heard all this news. What must we do? Repent and be baptised. That's the instruction. That's why it's so important. And then he said, you'll receive the Holy Spirit. We believe, as we were saying last week, that yes, you receive the Holy Spirit, but if you want the fullness of the Holy Spirit, we look to ask God and say, I want to be filled to overflowing, just like those first disciples were on that first day. I want to be transformed. I want something within me that's powerful, that's going to make a difference. And we believe God answers that and does it. We prayed for some folk along those lines last week, believing that it was going to happen. What's happening? Why is it important? Well, I think there's a point of change declared and recognized. We become new. There's nothing magical about that. But actually, there's something spiritual and sacramental. If you do what God tells you to do, then something happens. And so God is going to meet these folk, I'm utterly confident, and there'll be something after that point where they'll be feeling, do you know, I met with God today and he's shifted me on from where I was before. And everyone can come. This is a new journey. It says everyone can come. There's nobody ruled out. Nobody can have done too much wrong to be allowed in there. Nobody. There are no holds barred. But I do warn you, there is an expectation from Jesus Christ that when you've been in there, then the changes start. We would want them, wouldn't we? Because we want to be everything that we might be in God. The change begins. God begins to give gifts. And Luke seems to see the importance of being filled with the Holy Spirit as being a preparation step for us to be effective witnesses. It's not just for evangelists. It's not just, Owen, can you give me 2 minutes? Can you do 2 minutes? I didn't think you were coming, so I've done you 2 minutes. But then I saw you come in, so I'll still have you 2 minutes, please. Owen said something to me last Monday night. And he said he would see his gift naturally as being a teacher. But when he went to university, he had to become a missionary. And I just wanted to, I asked him to unpack it for you in 2 minutes. I'll give him 3 if it's necessary.
Okay, cool. Yeah, like before I went to uni, I was quite obviously a teacher. I led a lot of the youth stuff, did a lot of the teaching. Got to uni, and the CU is not a teaching organisation. It's not there to grow God's church in the church style. It's there to grow God's church in the evangelistic. And I had to learn to be an evangelist. Quite scary for me, because I'm not really evangelistic minded. Well, I wasn't then, but you know, every day going out, going and meeting people on campus, running events, trying to find new ways to get people to find Christ. And quite quickly, I became not an evangelist, but became a lot more that way inclined, to the point where now I think quite naturally like an evangelist. So, like me and Rich were talking about it the other day, we now get frustrated when we don't have any non-Christian friends, like, who we sing regularly, because we have such a passion about God, despite our teaching talents, that we want to go and tell people about God as well. Yeah.
That's it. Wonderful, excellent, Owen. That's exactly what I wanted to hear. Because, you see, the important thing is, whatever you think you are, because when you've been baptized, when you're walking on with God, there are gifts God gives you. And we have different natural talents. But the thing that Owen said that I think so important is he said he realized he had to become a missionary or an evangelist. Paul once said to Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. If you read about Timothy, he clearly wasn't one. He was a teacher, he was a pastor. But Paul said, you've got to do the work of an evangelist. And what I'm saying particularly to those of you who belong here, but I might as well say it to the rest of you while you're walking through, that's what God's expecting. He's expecting a load of people. Evangelist is sound scary, doesn't it? Are you still an evangelist, Owen? Good. He's still an evangelist. Now, I'm finding something. God's saying to me, Graham, you are not an evangelist, but you've got to do the work of one. Why are we doing Heaven Sent? I want to say to our folk, but the rest of you in here, if you'd pray for us, that would be good. Because I want us to believe for more this year than we've ever believed for. Not just a fun time out there. Kids playing football don't appeal to me. Kids breaking chairs don't appeal to me. But the idea of people rubbing shoulders with people who are out there purely because they want folk to know Jesus Christ, that does appeal to me. And we've got to be more bold. We've got to do what Owen said. It just so struck me when he said it on Monday night. I thought, you've got to hear this morning. So, we're being baptized. We start, we repent, we believe in Jesus Christ. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, it don't work. We are baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then the outcome of that is we want other people to know about it because it's such good news. Okay? Worship team, would you come back, please? Because we're going to demonstrate that. We're going to worship God together. And then in a few moments, we're going to baptize some folk. I'm going to pray while the musicians get back. And I want to ask Father God that as we share in this great privilege of seeing some folk make the decision to be baptized, as the Bible said, will you remind us of our own decisions? Will you remind us of our own choices? Will you remind us that it is your intention to see your kingdom come, Jesus Christ, ruler and reigning in the whole world, and we want to play our part. So we're excited that four folk are taking this step, but there's a whole host of us in this room who've taken that step, and we remind ourselves this morning that that's where we stand, and we want to see God's name honoured and glorified. We love our God. So help us as we worship you, and then as we experience this baptism opportunity together, to catch that glimpse of what might be. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
I just want to read something from Psalm 146. It says this: praise the Lord, O my soul. I'll sing praise to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Don't put your trust in mortal men who cannot save, that when their spirit departs, they return to the ground, and on that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed is he whose help is in God. He upholds the cause of the oppressed, gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. He gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord reigns forever. And as we were singing that first song, it talks about not worrying about yesterday, not holding that on, not leaving your past behind you. It talks about giving hopes and dreams to God. It talks about giving God our fears and sorrows. And the people who are going in the baptism pool today, that's what they're doing. They're leaving all that behind them. But it's not just for them, it's for all of us. There are always things that hold us back, things that stop us from being who we're created to be. And I just encourage you this morning, as we're singing, as we're worshipping, just look at God and say, you know, who have you made me to be? Who is it that you want me to be? And what have I got to leave behind in order to be that person?
It's horrible to be first. Thank you. The one thing I did forget to say, but you've done it already, it is incredibly nerve-wracking for each of the people stood here. Most of them haven't stood here before, haven't talked to a great gang of people. So if you can smile at them, cheer them on as you've done, it is really, really helpful, because scowly faces are not nice to talk to. Are they, Hannah? Right, Hannah, would you like to just tell us a little bit about why you're here today?
Well, just for those of you that don't know me, I'm Rachel's sister, because you should know her a bit by now. I'm at Aberystwyth Uni, so I'll be here like during the holidays, but the rest of the time I won't be here, obviously. I've decided to get baptized today because I've found that God has become like my comfort and my joy, and I went through a difficult time where I was bottling everything up and I felt that I didn't want to bother people with my problems, but God came to me and like said that he cares about my problems, and he just filled me with his love, that there was no room for me to have all those little worries and negative thoughts anymore, and it was just full of his love and joy, and I just walked around with a massive smile on my face for a very long time. And I just want to get baptized today as well, because at the start of this year in January, I spent a lot of time trying to work on how to hear God's voice, and I felt that he was saying that this year was the year that I should get baptized and move on and leave my old life behind as a symbol of walking into my new life with him, and it's like an act of obedience with him.
It's fantastic, isn't it?
Well done.
You're allowed to say no, Hannah, because I haven't asked you this before. But is there anything you want to say about what you're expecting of today, apart from the getting rid of, you know, the being washed clean, but about coming, what's coming?
Well, I'm looking forward into developing my walk with God and becoming like more knowledgeable in like what he is about and who he is, and more about his love, because I don't think we'll ever understand all of his love and grace. And just like all the exciting things that I know he has planned for me, and the fellowship that I like that is enriched by his love with all the people here in church.
That's brilliant, isn't it? And just for those of you who don't know, because we didn't quite get it in Ashford News, but we will do next time, Hannah's off very soon to Spain for a month, A, to practice a Spanish, because that's what she's doing at university. But I know she'd really appreciate your prayers as she goes, and just, you know, in a different country, new people, etc., etc. But in a sense, it is that step of faith of just trusting that God's going to look after you as well, isn't it, there? So it's been, and she's just been on a mission week at Aberystwyth with the Abba clan that are over there. Give us a cheer, Abba clan. They've come to cheer on this morning, which is good as well, isn't it? So she's doing all sorts of things, which I know many of us don't know about, but, you know, just spend a few minutes talking to Hannah, or get on her Facebook and get chatting to her and find out, you know, what she's up to, because she's very quiet, but quite an interesting character, and there's a lot going on. Okay, right, would Claire and Sheila like to just join me, and they're going to pray for her. It's really nice because Sheila is Hannah's gran, and it's just really nice to have, you know, not just the church family standing with you, but to have other people. And many of us have, you know, it's really nice when we have got church family. So do you want to go first, Sheila?
Lord, we do thank you for Hannah. We thank you for her love for you, Lord. And we thank you that she wants to take this step of obedience in water baptism. And we pray, Lord, that this will be a great blessing to her, Lord, that as she goes into the water and goes down beneath those waters, she'll know that she's leaving all the old life behind, and that she will rise up to walk with you in newness of life in the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray that you will lead her, that you will guide her, that you will protect her, Lord, from every attack of the evil one, and especially be with her in these coming days, Lord, that she will know your presence, your peace, your blessing in a very real way. We ask it for your glory in the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen.
Brilliant. As I was praying for you, Hannah, Ephesians 1:18 talks about, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the wonderful future he has promised to those he's called. And in the message it says, your eyes focused and clear so that you can see exactly what he is calling you to do. And I just got a sense, the word servant kept coming into my head, good and faithful servant. And when I think of servant, sometimes you can think of just the doing part of serving. But realistically, we're all called to be servants. And so I saw it as you going beyond and just thinking about what you've just said about how many trips and travels you're doing. Just going beyond that sort of every day and just seeing God in some amazing ways that sort of blow your mind, really. And I just felt that he was going to show you, I called it traditional ways of serving. I just felt he was going to show you different areas that you will be his servant in different places. And I'm also just finishing two things. I'm reading a book called Hooper Woman. And the word Hooper, for those of you who don't know, is basically saying exceedingly, abundantly, and beyond all we can imagine. And instead of having that sort of self where we try and do things on our own, like a superwoman might, this is really God taking control and you being a hooper woman. So I just really want to pray that over you today, if I may. So, Father God, we just thank you so much for Hannah. Father, we thank you for this step of faith today. We thank that she's saying yes to you and no to self, that as she goes into this water, Father, she comes out a hooper woman for you, going beyond and above anything she could possibly imagine her walk with you could be. That, Father, over these next coming weeks, Lord, as she travels abroad, Father, that you will be with her, and what goes on today, Father, will just spear her ahead, Father. And just pray that in your name. Amen.
Thank you very much. Right, it's Mandy around. Sorry, Mandy's just going to help me with the water. Should we climb in? See how warm it is? Actually, let me give that to Mandy. Mandy needs that. Can you do that bit?
Do you repent of your sins and renounce all evil?
Yes.
Do you trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour?
I do.
Will you obey Jesus and serve him in the church and in the world?
Joe is incredibly nervous, so I don't quite know what we might get out of Joe now, but would you like to tell us, Joe, why you're here today?
Well, I've chosen to be baptised because I want to start anew with God, because I haven't exactly been the most well-behaved person at school.
and that might be a little understatement.
And I realised that I've made loads of mistakes, and I just want to start afresh so I can change myself, because I don't want to like be one of the like bad kids and stuff.
You aren't a bad kid or a totally bad kid anymore, though, are you? What's happened in the last couple of years, Joe?
Well, I started going to a girls' group with Mandy, and that completely changed me because I met loads of new friends and I met Jesus a lot better. And then I started coming here, and that changed me even more from like. And I don't know where I would be without everyone that I've met.
And her report is now a little different. And that's an understatement too. And the other week she came to see me, and she said, Janet, she said, I've got an award today. Listen to this.
I won an award for... loads of people won it, but one of my teachers nominated me for being really quiet in lessons and getting on with my work. And getting on my work and just being a really good student.
And doing as the teacher asked her. which is fantastic, because Jess and I gave a big cheer, didn't we, Jess, when we heard that day. And so it's with that Joe's coming today. And over the last few months, I've spent some time with Joe and with Jess, who's going to be baptised in a moment. And just hearing the depth of their faith as it is now, although they're quite young, they know what they're doing. They are taking big steps to follow Jesus. And it's been a real honour. And I know that, that God's going to take them on and move them on. So, Mandy, do you want to come and...
Yeah, you don't get out of that easy, Joe. Psalm 139, your favourite little bit. But there's some other bits to it that I think you need to hear too. Lord, you search me and you know me. You know when I rise and when I sit. God knows everything about you, even in class. But he hems you in before and behind. He's got his hand on you. And I think we can see that now. Your favourite line. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. All the days adorned to me are written in your book before one of them came to be. God's got his hand on you, Joe. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. And I think that's a sign of what you're putting your stepping into baptism for. So,
just before you pray, I think one of the things I've seen in Joe this year is a warrior. Now, she's fought school, home, brothers, other people possibly, at times. But I sense in her there's a spiritual warrior in her. And it manifests itself in her. As she's heard the truth of God, she uses the truth of God to speak into situations, to speak into her own life. And I think, Joe, that as you get to grips with the Bible, as you get to take hold of the word of God to you, I see you doing far more of that warring in the right places in the coming weeks, months, years. And actually, it's an instruction to you, I think, from God to get hold of your Bible and get reading it and get putting it inside you, not just reading it on the outside, but having it on the inside of you. Because when it comes out of you, I quake. Because it's the only word for it. It's just fantastic because she speaks clearly and with authority when she knows the truth of God. So I just want to encourage you to keep on like that. Mandy, do you want to pray for her?
Pleasure. Lord Jesus, I thank you that Jo has decided to put you first in her life, that she wants to be a new creation, washing away the old and bringing in the new. Thank you for who she is and the fun and joy that she brings to us. Deepen her understanding of you and bring her freedom to be all of who you created her to be. May she really take into her spirit today the knowledge that she is beautifully and wonderfully made. Amen. Otherwise. Okay. Joe, do you repent of your sins and renounce all evil?
Yes.
Do you trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour?
I do.
Will you obey Jesus and serve him in the church and in the world?
Yes.
Team here. Jessica, Are you excited? Good. Right, Jess, why are you here today?
Through being with Janet and Mandy, I've changed so much. If it wasn't for this big change, then I wouldn't be standing here telling you why I'm going to be baptized today. My heart is on missionary.
Just take a minute. I don't think it's you lot that are frightening her now. There's such a passion in you, isn't there, Jess? Have another go.
My heart is on missionary, and I just feel that God has given me the strength and the confidence to move on. And I don't want to be out there on the missionary field with all this sin on my shoulders and it pulling me back and just me being wrapped in chains. And I just feel that I need to serve God for the people who don't know him. And I just want to live life to the full and leave the past behind and just take a step forward.
Yeah. Come on. And when Jess talks about mission, she's not talking about in a foreign country necessarily, although that is on her heart. She's actually at the moment getting together a band in school, a Christian band, because she wants to have Christian music in the school and for the children, other young students in school to hear about Jesus. And that's where she's starting. So that's fantastic, isn't it? Right.
Isaiah 43 is a favourite one of mine, but in it says, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing."
I sense this morning that there's a verse in James about wisdom that God wants to say to you, and this is what it says. The wisdom from above is first of all pure. It also is also peace-loving, gentle at times, and willing to yield to others. It's full of mercy and good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. And I sense that God is wanting to impart to you more of the love and wisdom that he's been imparting to you already. You've had a dose, but I think today there's a big dose coming. And he wants you to embrace it, because he's giving it to you, not just because you're one of many, but he's giving it to you intentionally and with purpose and safely, very safely, even though you don't think that sometimes. And because he wants you to be able to touch the people that you meet with more love and to be able to just release the love of God to them in a more full way, if you like. And so I just think, and the other thing I think is he's giving you a discernment beyond what many people have, to discern good and bad, evil, not evil, and that actually you're going to need to learn how to use that and how to walk with that, and you need to keep talking to those who are older and wiser and will help you to work that through. But I see you planting many seeds in people's lives, although sometimes they might not even be aware that you've planted a seed. And I can see you reaping a harvest, seeing people really discovering Jesus as their Lord and Saviour and friend.
Yeah. Lord Jesus, I thank you that Jess has decided to put you first in her life. I pray that from today you bring her into the fullness of all you have created her to be. Increase her knowledge of your world and deepen her worshipping heart. Fulfill her dreams for vision and serving others. May her confidence be in you so that she can stand up for what she believes in. Amen. Okay, Jess, do you repent of your sins and renounce all evil?
Yes.
Do you trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour?
I do.
Will you obey Jesus and serve him in the church and in the world?
I will.
Is Sean. Come on. And I need Tom and Wayne to come as well. I'm going to say, I led you all astray last week. I announced this is Sean, introduced him as Sean Else. I had my wrist firmly slapped. Since I knew him as a child, he's changed his name. So this is now Sean Keane. Yeah. Are you going to do... All right. The retiring person. Anyway, Sean, we're very glad to see you here today. We're very glad. So would you like to tell everybody why you're stood here today?
I suddenly need a fag. I don't know where to start. About 18 months ago, if you'd have told me I'd have been here, there's no way I would have believed it. For 25 and a half years, I lived without God in my life, and I messed up. I hit rock bottom. And this is to mark, to wash my old life away and to begin a new life in Jesus.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
It's good. There's obviously an awful lot of story behind those few sentences that probably isn't appropriate to tell most of you here today in this environment, but Sean is happy to talk about some of the stuff that's gone on and what you're stepping out of, aren't you, on a one-to-one?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not saying everybody. No, but some of the story, it's good to hear sometimes, and some of you might need to just hear a little bit of that, but it is really good to hear from you. So, Wayne, do you want to... do whatever you're going to do.
I'm not prepared for this. I was only told about 2 minutes ago. So, Lord, I just pray for Sean. I thank you that he's stood here today, Lord, and that he wants to walk with you and leave his old life behind him. I pray, Lord, that as the days and weeks go by, that he remembers this day and remembers why he chose to be baptised. And I pray that through him, Lord, you do your will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah, Lord God, I want to thank you for Sean. I want to thank you for how far you brought him in such a short space of time, Lord God. I want to pray that as he steps out of the water, Lord God, that that he'll know that his old life is gone. He will have a clear sense of that, Lord.
Yes,
and that he will know that the dreams and the hopes that he's got for his future are all in your hands. And he's just got to trust you and carry on walking with you. Bless him, Lord God. Amen.
Do you repent of your sins and renounce all evil?
Yeah.
Do you trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour?
I do.
Will you obey Jesus and serve him in the church and in the world?